Coming up on TMS, Bed Bath & Beyond Beef.
We don't talk about the return of brew, no, no, no.
Dutch ovening my poor wife.
That was a dumb thing to do.
That's not how you turn off a monitor.
Bar, floor, teeth.
All the jimmies.
You ever lose your teesh?
He's rubbing those shoes.
Adam is basically a mark.
Jambalaya dreaming.
Roseanneville, like Roseanne, the show, get it?
Floor teeth, back in the mouth.
To say nothing of Read This with Amy.
The effervescent wisdom of Wendy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
On hands and knees, thrust your tummy. You don't have to ask your mummy. Up and down, re-energize. This one's hard, you'll realize. Stomach back is what this is for. Do it right, you will score.
I hate this place. It smells like 19th century ass.
Up, down, up, down. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Thursday, March 24th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
You know, I'm actually doing pretty good this morning. I have energy, and I didn't expect to have pure energy when I woke up.
Pure energy.
I usually a lot more tired lately, and I think it's maybe the weather's changing. It's getting warmer, you know?
Sure.
A little less.
Oh, it's so nice. Yeah. You know, it's like 30 degrees when I get up, but it's going to be like 60 today.
Yeah.
It's almost like, oh, let's just get up. Oh, 63. That is going to be after TMS. I'm getting on the bike for a little bit.
Ah, see, there you go. Where are you going to go?
TMS, after Coverville. I'll probably just do a loop that has a, like a 40% gray or whatever hill in it to get some hill practice.
What's the recommendation on the grade? Is there a thing that you're supposed to hit and do?
No. Okay. It's just like, what can you take?
Yeah. What can
do
you
do? Do everything you can take.
Do whatever you can do and then push harder the next time even, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah, just keep like always push further, always go harder.
Yeah. Always go harder. That's what I say.
Always go harder. Yeah.
We got a theory email. So we talked about Bruce Willis the other day, and why is he in all these crap movies? You know, and what's going on there?
I hope this is not the case, but yes, let's get to
this. I do too, because I don't know why this would be the case for him, but then, you know, when Nick Cage was doing this for 3-4 years straight, what were people having the same rumor there? But anyway,
here's what
he says. This is actually a comment on the blog, but it came from CH. For our episode TMS 2264 called Bruce Willis Needs to Fart. he says there's a growing rumor that Bruce Willis has dementia. And so he's been doing these movies where he makes $1 million a day for 1 to 3 days max as a way to set aside as much money as possible for his family when his condition forces him to retire. These films require very much or very little of him. His lines are fed to him in an earpiece and plenty of the gaps are filled in with the use of body doubles. So I don't have any way to confirm that, but if that's true, that makes me horribly sad. But
it is really sad. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of, you do a search for Bruce Willis dementia, and you get a lot of stuff, including a Reddit post from 4 days ago, titled "Stop Making Fun of Bruce Willis. He's Legitimately Disabled."
How do they know this?
He says, "Where is this?" I learned this from a close friend who did his makeup on one of these trash movies from the last couple of years. So he's still a little backhanded compliment there. Like, you know, one of these garbage movies that he's been.
Yeah. Yeah. About. Be nice to Bruce Willis. I talked to someone who made one of these pieces of shit he was in. That's a weird tone that guy has.
Yeah.
So, but does it, I mean, is there any, I need more than that. I can't have just somebody going, oh, I got a friend who knew somebody who did a thing.
Like, yes, it's
just,
exactly.
It's not enough. I look, if it's true, that's horrible. And he should do whatever he wants to do. He should do what he wants to do anyway. This is the thing. None of us control Bruce Willis, regardless of his condition. And if he's experiencing this stuff, well, then he should do what he wants. And if he's not, he should also do what he wants. Do what he wants. It's Bruce Willis. It's fine.
Yes, I feel like, you know, if this is the case, man, power to him and his family for doing this sort of thing. But if this is some ugly rumor somebody started, then really shame on them.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah.
Starting rumors about something dumb
like that. Exactly.
All right, Brian, we must know, we have to know. How did the 3D print go last night?
All right, so I started it after the show yesterday because I did the, is that right? No, I think I did start it. I started right before TMS yesterday because it would be 13 hours or 14 hours. When I went to bed, it was still going.
Okay.
And so I had to go to sleep thinking, all right, you know, is the vat full? The vat's full. Is there anything else I need to worry about?
Was it so far so good when you went to bed? Like, was
so
working?
Far so good when I went to bed.
All right.
I got up.
Uh-oh.
And Scott, it looks awesome. And I'm going to turn off the lights here.
Let's take a look. I'm so excited. I predicted that. Scott predicted perfect.
You did predict perfect. You totally did.
Yeah.
Here is
lit up. This means someone stayed up too late.
I painted it, or I did primer, black primer on there.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can. I'm gonna put my computer to sleep so that you don't get screen.
Yeah, we're getting secondary light. Oh, no! There you go. I think. Are you there? Can I hear you? I don't see your camera now.
No. You know, that was a dumb thing to do.
Yeah. If you put your computer to sleep, I think that sleeps all functions of your computer. I think is how that works.
Yeah, it doesn't just dim the screen. It turns everything off, doesn't it?
You gotta do one of those hot corner things where you
That's right. Yeah, put it into let's see, which corner do I have as my a corner set up here?
Yeah.
Sleep was a bad choice. I thought that I'd just put it into like screen saver.
You could just turn your monitor off. That would work too. Because you're running on a mini. Sure.
I'm on a mini. Yeah. I don't know where there's a button to turn this thing off. Honestly, I don't know if there really is.
Like, there may not be.
There is no button. All right. Well, in any case, so there it is. Check this out. The light sensor works. So if I take this one out, you can see the whole thing lights up.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Dude, that's cool. And you don't have to, you're not going to do any kind of labeling or anything. It's not going to be like, this is where Han Solo. Yeah. This is where the purple one is for James.
No.
James Jackson. What's wrong with my brain?
Samuel L. Jackson. For Mace Windu. So you can see the lights now coming through on this thing.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
I'm not going to do labeling like that. I might do like a Black Spire Outpost logo on it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might just let it be as is, you know. I think it looks,
that's pretty cool.
Looks really good like this. I'm sending you a photo of it because the photo I took is far better.
Oh yeah, the screen really is making it blur out. This would be nice to see it without it. Let's see here.
Yeah, I'll send it to you via text. Give me 1 second. I just had to turn lights back on in my studio.
That was really funny.
Yeah. The Wrath 86, what monitor has no power switch? I'll tell you, it is the LG whatever this thing is. Has no buttons that I can feel along any part of it that I can.
No edges, no nothing in the rear, just to the rear of the side.
Maybe something in the rear. No, nothing in the rear with the gear.
This LG over here's got a great big button.
Every
in
other
the
monitor I have has like a button on the side or on the bottom or on the front.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's like really weird.
Nothing, it is weird.
All right. Well, there you go.
All right. Sending you a photo. Hold on. Photo coming. Scott, photo coming.
Photo incoming. It's incoming.
Photo incoming.
It's coming. I feel it coming now.
There you go. Yeah. So this is, and I'll send you two of them. I'll send you one before I painted it with the primer, before I primed it, because then you can see there was actually some light bleed coming through with the primer.
Oh, yeah. You can see it at the base of the rings a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
so what do you do there? You put in just extra, you thicken that up and make it opaque or whatever?
Well, the primer covered that up, I guess.
Oh, okay. I see it.
Oh, yeah. I guess even with the black one, you get a little bit of light bleed.
Yeah, that's
look
what
at
I
the second
about.
One I sent you, though. Okay. That's without primer.
Oh, that's zero. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which kind of doesn't look bad either. You
kinda
know,
it does look like, cool, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't mind that.
No.
Either way is cool. But those, yeah, that's rad. I love it.
So now I have, you know, this is my base unit. Now I can look at Black Spire Outpost photos, things like that, and say, okay, here's, you know, here are some elements, kind of Star Wars universe elements that really work well for this shape. And I was thinking initially doing like a, like the front of the light speeder, but I don't want to have this be like a rounded front of a vehicle kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I got to do some design work and see what I think, but
I think it's badass looking. I think it's
really, this is
cool.
it really came out great. And, yeah, I'll throw these up on Etsy or something. And
most of these people come home and they throw those crystals in a drawer somewhere.
Right, exactly.
Not Brian. He makes a damn display with lights in it,
damn,
and a sensor,
right,
and all that. Look at this. He's a true Star Wars fan.
Got to make this thing look freaking excellent.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, the seven or eight year old in me that saw Star Wars in the theaters for the first time is losing his mother effing mind inside my head right now. Yeah. So there you go. All right. Real quick before we get to Amy, very fast. Last night had a weird dream, but it wasn't as weird as the previous dreams. This dream was all talk shows, nighttime talk shows in the history of the medium were all in the same room. So it was like Letterman, Johnny Carson, all the new guys, Colbert, all them, all the talk show people. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, here's the question. And this is when I woke up from this, it wasn't even unique. The dream was just a dream about all these people in one room. But when I woke up, I thought, Of all these people, Conan O'Brien and that Ferguson guy and all the late night talk show hosts, they were all in
everybody
a room
named Jimmy.
Yes. If they were all the Jimmys, if they were all in a room. Yes. Arsenio Hall was in there. Chevy Chase was not.
Uh-huh.
That thing only lasted a week. So
Whoopi Goldberg, was she there?
She was not in there. No Whoopi. No daytimer types. Oh, no. I take that back. Ellen DeGeneres was there in this dream. But anyway, so they're all in this dream. Yeah. And it got me to thinking when I woke up, and
what was the situation here? Was it like a convention or something? Or
hard to say. They were just all collected in a single space talking. It was just a loud room full of talking, which is what made me think of this when I woke up. I thought, and I would ask you. In fact, first thing I woke up and says, "You're going to ask this on the show tomorrow." In that room, if it was dead silent for a second, nobody was saying anything for a second. And these are all people that are trained to fill any possible opening of sound with sound to talk, right? They want to every time there's any kind of blank, you fill it with discussion because that's what these talk show hosts do.
Yeah.
Who would be the first one to say something in a situation where it got quiet and awkward?
I think Letterman would make some joke, that's why I'm not doing this anymore.
All right, you give it to Dave. Probably, that's interesting. Okay.
Let me think about this. Like, all right, he'd be the first to make a joke about it. James Corden, I think, would be the first to complain about, like, he'd be awkward about it being silent.
Being quiet. That's actually pretty good. He was there also. Yeah. So was Jay Leno was there. Fallon was there.
Sure.
Jack Parr, who I barely know in my head, is there.
Was Steve Allen there as well?
Didn't see Steve Allen, but he could have been there.
You've got to stop eating the Chex Mix right now.
I know, dude. I'm telling you. Actually, yesterday it was too much jambalaya. Kim made vegan jambalaya yesterday, and it was freaking good that I went back for like three trips.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, vegan. That's all right.
Vegan. It's all vegetables and stuff.
No Mantooey sausage. No.
None of that. No meat.
It
was good, though. Her vegetarian thing is fantastic when she makes it. It's very good. So I ate way too much of it, and I think that contributed to
this. I was impressed that you spelled jambalaya correctly on Twitter.
Photo. Yeah. That one I can spell because we eat it a lot around here. So.
Oh, I don't know. Last time you put it in our show notes, it was jambolia.
Oh, did I get it wrong in there? Oh, that's right. Famously, we did one episode. Jambolia.
Yes, jambolia.
Yeah, everyone likes a hot bowl of jambolia.
Mm, who doesn't like some jambolia?
All right, Red Fraggling coming. I'm sure we're going to talk about some book stuff. This will be exciting.
I hope so, because Reed, this wouldn't work for video games.
No, it would not. So check it out. Hey, do y'all hear that? That's the music we use to introduce Amy, who comes on the show and talks about books and stuff she's reading and things she'd like to recommend. Hey, Amy, welcome back to the show.
Hey, friends.
Hi.
How's it going today?
Good. Welcome back to Read This, your very own segment. I was thinking about you yesterday because I opened up my iPad and I was like, This is later last night, and I'm like, what do I want to read? Do I keep reading Stormlight Archive Book 1, or do I flip over and read some comics? And I flipped over and read some comics. So there you go. I don't know why I thought of you, but I did. I thought of you, and I thought of reading, and then I chose the easier of the two paths.
Hey, you know,
and that has made all the difference.
Yes, it did.
Sometimes that's what you do. I was actually saying recently, I have not been reading nearly enough lately because my nighttime routine has sort of changed a little bit. And now that I've been introduced to the Calm app, I have these, like, I don't know if anybody's familiar with that little app, but it's got like all these meditations and it's got sleep stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. So Killian Murphy puts me to bed every night.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Reading me a story about Ireland. It's fantastic.
How can you sleep thinking of those dreamy blue eyes?
I know. Careful.
But his voice is super soothing. Like I never get past the first, you know, a couple of paragraphs.
Those things, I tried Calm for a couple of months and because I was having a hard time sleeping. Those things... It's borderline ASMR because they've got those microphones pretty close. And it's like, all right, you're walking through a very calming forest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a mist hanging in the air. Hold on, let me take a drink of coffee.
The difference, though, is I can't hear their mouth noises. That's the thing that bugs me about ASMR. Right. Is it like, and you know, this is... from a former voice actor-y person, like mouth noises drive me bananas.
Oh, yeah. You and me both.
Yeah. I don't get most ASMR. There's certain like object things that you can do. Like Nick works for a local YouTube company here where he brings in old shoes and restores them on video, and they have mics like super trained on it. And so you can hear the brushing and the scraping or the whatever leather treatment he's doing on these boots and stuff. And it's really cool, and that stuff chills me out. But when it's someone going, okay, now I'm in your ear, and I'm going to freaking... Yes. I hate that, dude.
No, I'm with you. That makes me creeped out. Like, you know, somebody just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't.
I also like if I'll be listening to a podcast and somebody's got really dry mouth, like where they're it's like they've got a mouthful of maple syrup, like that sort of thing as they're talking. Mm-hmm. I have to turn it off. I have to leave. I can't do it.
Can't deal with it.
Yeah, I hate that too.
So listen to this real quick. I got a tiny little bit of audio of this. Listen to this. This is Nick doing shoes. Hold on. Oh yeah, see, he's rubbing those shoes, man. Oh.
I thought we were going to hear him talk. Is that it?
No, he never says anything. It's all, it's intended to be not ASMR necessarily. I guess it is kind of, but it's for this. So he's working for this channel called Rose Anvil. Some people may have heard of this. Okay. They're like 500,000 subscribers or something.
That was almost my podcast talking about the Connor family on that sitcom. And I almost did it, and I never did it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Rose Anvil? Rose Anvil. I get it. No, it was good.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But it's really
good, Scott.
So good. No, it was good. I wrote it down. I'm going to use it later. It's going to be great.
Always great when you have to explain the joke.
I agree.
I agree. Yes. That's a strong one. Anyway, hey, so we got some reading to do. What should we be doing with our reading time right now?
So I am actually really excited to recommend this book. I read it for the first time a long time ago, and I'm actually going to start reading it again now because it's one of those books that like you can forget the details and rediscover them, and it's wonderful. It's called To Say Nothing of the Dog by Connie Willis.
Okay.
And if you've not read any of her stuff, like a lot of her, it's time travel, but it's hilarious time travel. So it's
we don't have enough of that. We don't have enough hilarious time travel.
I agree.
It's very sort of like comedy of errors. And then like, you know, so something gets messed up and then the more they try to fix the thing, the more things get even more messed up. And it's so in this world, time travel exists, but only, you know, historians essentially go back in time to literally observe things in the first person. So they're trying to get a very, very accurate historical record.
Yeah.
And then something comes forward in time from a past time and mayhem ensues. So I don't want to give away too much, but it's because it's really fun and hilarious to discover it. But the title is an homage to the Jerome K. Jerome book, which is Three Men in a Boat, to say nothing of the dog, which it ends up happening pretty early on in the book. There are three men in a boat and a dog named Cyril, who's like, in my mind, just this hulking goofy bulldog, and it's the whole, and they're headed down a river in England and in like the 18th century, I think. And it's really funny, and there's this concept of the more you go back in time as a historian, you can suffer from what's called time lag. And so you start hallucinating and things like that. And the book is written in the first person. So after a little while, you start to wonder if Ned is an unreliable narrator or, you know what I mean? Like, what he's saying happening really happening, or is he time lagged and hallucinating? I'm not really sure, but it's all really fun and hilarious. And each chapter sort of starts out with a quote from, you know, from some other author. And they almost remind me very obliquely of Brian's Guess the Connection clues.
Oh, weird.
Because they're like, you only understand why they're there after you understand why they're there.
Good. Okay. So, yeah. Which is exactly how I write those. Cause I want it to be a confirmation. Like once you think you have the answer, you can look back and say, oh yeah. Okay. That confirms what I think it is, kind of thing.
Right. So it's interesting. Yeah. Her list of books is pretty varied. She does it's obviously a ton of science fiction. She's specifically a science fiction author, but I'm seeing all sorts of takes here that aren't necessarily all comedic on various themes. So this is, would you compare it to anything like close to, I don't know, Douglas Adams stuff?
Yeah,
or what is it in that
vein?
Yeah,
I mean, so there, it's British for sure. So, and it has some dry British humor, but it's not quite as tongue in cheek as something like a Douglas Adams or a Terry Pratchett. Like it doesn't quite break the fourth wall quite more as much subtle. As they do. Yeah. It's a little more subtle. And that's why I didn't include a clip from the audiobook today. The narrator is fine, you know, but like they just read some from the first chapter, which the first chapter is him excavating like these old ruins of a church from immediately after the Blitz in London. And they're trying to find the bishop's bird stump. And I'm not going to tell you what that is because you don't know what that is in the book until, you know, and it's, you know, so it's a whole thing. Basically, the bishop's bird stump is a MacGuffin. And, you know, you spend the whole book looking for it and then you're like, oh, weird. Okay. The whole first chapter is just him digging through rubble and then sort of establishing that. And so I was like, the audio from that doesn't really grab you and make you like super want to read it. So I'll just get on and talk about it.
Yeah. It describes it as a companion to the Doomsday book, which I guess was a previous novel of hers.
Yeah, it says that's book one, right? It says right here, part one is Doomsday book, and then part two is To Say Nothing of the Dog. Do you have to read
it? But you don't, if this isn't technically a sequel, it's just a companion book, same universe kind of thing, right? Yeah. Like you didn't need to read Doomsday book to enjoy this?
I did not read Doomsday book, nor did I need it to enjoy it. Enjoyed it. Yeah. Okay. But yes, it is the same universe. And my understanding is that Doomsday book is super depressing. Oh. And this is very light and fun. So
I like that. I like this better already.
Yeah. Super depressing. Gotcha. Interesting.
And you did the audiobook, you said?
No.
Oh, you got the book.
I heard a sample of the audiobook because I was considering taking a sample to send as a clip, but I was like, it's just kind of a dry British narrator reading it, and you know, so I was like, it'll be more fun. I'll just jump on and talk about it.
Yeah,
don't come and sit down. The drop isn't scheduled till noon.
That's the voice.
That's interesting because it says Stephen Crossley. So,
oh,
yeah. The narrator.
I don't know. Maybe
I was going to say that was different than the sample I found.
Yeah,
so apparently your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what's going on there, but she, someone in the chat says she is not British. No, we know she's an American author, but this fits in that.
The story is British. Yes. Right. So my TRPW. Yes. Good correction there.
Thank you. Well, it sounds great. I want to check it out, and I'm glad to hear I don't need the first one. It's rated slightly. Well, the first one's rated the highest on Goodreads, Doomsday Book, mm-hmm. I should say. Mm-hmm. To say nothing of the dog, very close second, only by like a 0.2 rating or something. Mm-hmm. If you're saying I don't need to read the first one at all, I'll just start there. I'll start with two.
I don't think you do. Put this way, I haven't read Doomsday Book, and I very much enjoyed To Say Nothing of the Dog. In fact, I was a little disappointed that I was going to do this book back in February because there was a show that we were supposed to have that was on Groundhog Day. And I was like, oh, I'm so going to do To Say Nothing of the Dog for Groundhog Day. But then we didn't have a show for reasons.
Oh, right.
So somebody was at the doctor or something, I don't know, something happened. We didn't have a show, so I saved it. But so it's a lot of the time travel things kind of end up like that, where you're like, wait, we've been here before. What are we doing? Wait, what are we doing?
Hey, Brian, where's Greeley, Colorado? She lives there.
It's it's about an hour and a half north of here, and it smells horrible.
Really?
Horribly. There's a slaughterhouse. Monfort is the, not Munford and Sons, but the Monfort Slaughterhouse is there. Tina went to college in Greeley at University of Northern Colorado, and Wednesdays was slaughter day.
No.
So the whole town stinks. And The whole town stinks. Yeah. Greeley, not a great place. You know, go up the way to Fort Collins, and you're way, way better off than Greeley.
Yeah, it says here her husband's a professor of physics at the University of Northern Colorado. So maybe you're, I don't know, maybe Tina took a class from.
Maybe. Oh, how? What was the? He's a professor. Of what?
It doesn't say his name, but professor of physics. It says.
Oh, physics. No, she wouldn't have taken that. She had her criminal justice degree.
Oh, so. Gotcha. Yeah, she's packing heat. Watch out.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, this is great.
Watch out for her, everybody.
This is good stuff, as always. Go check it out. Again, that's Connie Willis. The book is To Say Nothing of the Dog, and she has a whole list of other books. I'm sort of interested in hearing about all these now. Fantastic stuff. Amy, anything else you want to mention? Where can people find you and talk to you?
So you guys are talking about Vegas. I'm super duper excited about that. I'm sitting here like I'm also going to be handing out random swag and whatnot. And so, and I'm hand making some things. I'm not going to tell you what they are though, because it's a surprise. I have a question about the pool bar thing.
Yeah.
For the first night, is it like one of those pool bars where there's like a swim up bar, or is it just like a bar that's
is it the
near
one
a pool?
Up top?
It's a bar. Yeah. It's a bar near a pool.
Yeah,
okay.
There's no swim up. The Plaza pool, although it's very, very nice, is not like there's no blackjack tables inside it or anything like that. Yeah. It is a very nice rectangle because this is old Vegas. Keep in mind, this is original Vegas, but it has a great view. It's one of the best views you can get of downtown from up there.
Yeah, it's up there, up high. You can see all around. It's awesome. I like it up there.
You can see the really weird decor, the painting on the wall of the one of the plaza towers that has a woman about to get killed by a blue monster.
Yep. What else can you ask for?
What else do you want?
You need nothing else but that, I'm telling you. Plus you can see that nugget guy that looks like he's holding a bowl of kicks. He's supposed to be Nuggets.
Can you still? Is that guy still around?
I think he's still up. Nugget? I think so. Okay. I'm not 100% positive he's still there as of last time I saw him, but I love that guy. Yeah. Anyway, well, there you go. Hey, Amy, have a great week, and we'll look forward to doing this again real soon.
Cool. You owe me a word in Scrabble, Scott.
Oh, I do. I'll get in there and get that done by now. All righty. There you have it.
You owe her a word.
I do owe her a word.
Can I have a word with you?
I would like to have many, many triple words with you. If I might. Yeah. All right, we're going to do a quick bit of news here at this part of the show is what I meant to say. So enjoy this. All right, it's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Poetry Unrequited. It's John Smolik's first collection of poetry, sharing the highs and lows of the almost was, the maybe, just maybe, and the never will be, depending on who you ask. Whether you are helplessly hoping or the victim of a missed connection, these poems commiserate one simple truth. We've all been there. But don't worry, it's not you, it's them. Available on Amazon Kindle or paperback, go to tiny.cc/poetrybook. That's all lowercase. tiny.cc/poetrybook.
Yeah, go get it. Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I love when
yeah.
our fans have some cool thing they're doing. I love that.
That's really cool. And by the way, that's how you write a promo for something.
100%. Yep.
Take note. That is a well-written promo.
Yep. Anatomy of a proper promo. You just heard it, everybody.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
So keep those coming. All right. Check this out. Full set of teeth. We're left behind at a British restaurant.
Ooh.
This is nice. A British restaurant is trying to find the owner of an unusual piece of lost and found property, a full set of teeth. The Barclay Pizza and Prosciutto. Prosciutto?
Prosecco.
Prosecco. What does that mean anyway?
It's an alcoholic drink. It's like a wine.
Okay.
So
I could go somewhere and say I'd like a Prosecco and they'd know what I mean?
They know exactly what you mean, yes.
Okay, that's cool. Located in Royton, Oldham, England. Nothing like an old ham.
Oldham.
Yeah. They said workers were cleaning in the early morning hours on Sunday when they found a full set of dentures on the floor in the bar area of the eatery. Emma Whalen, owner of the establishment, posted a photo on the business Facebook page showing a bag that employees labeled teeth.
Yeah. Those might be mine. Do you mind if I try them to see if they're mine?
Yeah, can I put them in just briefly? Just briefly.
Just briefly. Just for briefly. A moment, please.
Oh, can no, they're them, not. They don't please. Fit at all. They're someone else's teeth. Thank you for letting me try.
Oh, pew, yes, pew. I thought they were mine. Why do they taste of fish?
Ew. Oh, man. That's gross. My poor wife, speaking of gaggy things, my wife this morning, the dogs ate. Aunt Rainer ate a little too fast, you could tell. Mm-hmm. And when she was walking through the house all happy and whatever, she suddenly stopped and like had a burp that brought up a little bit of breakfast. Not too bad. Okay. Just kind of a blah. Yeah. And I've dealt with it. It's no big deal. Sure. I'm going to go clean it up. Kim goes, oh my gosh, I can't even look at it. And I go, what? She goes, the dog barfed on the thing and now she's trying to eat it. I go, let her eat it. It was just in her guts. Who cares? It's dogs don't care. Let her eat it. Yeah. And she goes, and goes running through the house like she was going to hurl. I feel bad.
Oh, that's awesome.
I feel guilty. Anyway, we got a lot of things left behind on that night in the Barclay. We have had house keys, phones, even a shoe. But this one is new, the post said. Let's see. The teeth were found at the end of a particularly busy night. We had a party upstairs, and it was busy downstairs as well. We didn't find the teeth until the end of the night, she told the evening news. Our supervisor, Cameron, found them. They were up on the floor in the bar. It's a full set of teeth. I particularly wanted to post it because somebody is definitely missing them. So who do you think is at home going, you know, I feel like I'm missing something.
What's different? Something feels different here. The fact they were on the floor, too, means that... like somebody was plowed, right? Like just overserved, too much Prosecco, and
that sounds so bad.
Yeah,
can you imagine floor teeth back in your mouth?
Bar floor teeth.
Yeah, you need to put those through like supersonic, ultrasonic cleaning methods.
I don't
or something.
Even know if there's enough boiling you could do to make me want to put those back in my mouth.
Those are really bad. Buman said it right. Shun of a bish, I forgot my teesh. Nice.
You ever lose your teeth?
Your car teeth? All right. So there's that story. Check out Chipotle. We got Chipotle in the news.
Okay. Chipotle, sure.
We just got a new one over the not far.
By the way, I had a breakfast burrito from Ziggy's this morning. I've got Ziggy's coffee, as you can see right here.
Look at that. Yeah.
Inspired by Carter.
Yeah. What'd you think?
So the breakfast burrito, I got the one with chorizo, and maybe I didn't let her finish.
Because
she was saying, I'd like a, let me get two breakfast burritos because I was bringing one back for Tina. And she's like, oh, okay, great. Yeah, we've got chorizo, bacon. And he said, oh, no need to go any further. Chorizo. Mm. Now, I maybe should have waited because I don't think there was any egg in this. I think it was chorizo and beans and cheese.
Oh.
And I don't know. Refried beans in a breakfast burrito is an odd thing, but I don't think there was any egg in this. And I'll bet she was about to get to chorizo and egg, bacon and egg, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you stopped her.
I stopped it too soon, yeah.
Yeah, they have. I really liked the one I got, but it definitely had egg in it. So
yeah,
I think that's what happened.
I'll bet I should have waited.
How's the corfee? Is it good?
The coffee's great. Yeah, I just went with a straight drip of the day or daily brew or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And it's a medium roast. It's their Forte.
Oh, nice.
Forte blend.
Yeah. The Will Forte
blend. It's very good. Mm. The Will Forte blend. Yep.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah. The photo I'm looking at on their website for sure, eggs, meat, cheese, potatoes, and
I think she stopped short because it sounded like you didn't want anything else.
I think I should have said, yeah, please tell me everything. instead of, oh, you had me a chorizo. Oh, okay, chorizo and dog shit. Great, here you go.
Yeah, here you go. Here's some dog shit chorizo for you. Well, all right. Here's the deal at Chipotle. They got a robot named Chippy, and it makes tortilla chips for them. And it turns out they make them. Some people didn't believe it because there's a lot of variety in the chips. They don't look uniform like a robot made them.
Yeah.
And that's because Chippy makes them imperfect on purpose.
Oh, clever. Yeah.
Check this out. Could you tell the difference between a tortilla chip made by a human and one that was made by a disembodied robot arm? Well,
Robot arms.
Chipotle Mexican Grill is putting the question to the test. Earlier this week, it announced that it's testing an AI kitchen assistant called Chippy to see if it can replicate the flavor, texture, and crunch of its signature side dishes. Chippy, which was created in partnership with Miso Robotics. They make good soup, too. Love a good miso soup.
Miso Robotics.
Yeah, Miso Robotics.
Miso horny.
That's all I remember about that movie. Him, that, and what's his name shooting himself on a toilet. That's all I remember. And a full metal jacket. Yeah.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio shoots himself with a gun.
I didn't know they stack shit that high. Come on,
right.
The whole Arlie Ermey bit.
Yeah,
and,
he's big in it, of course. But like those two moments are stuck where he shoots himself in the head and then later, me so horny. Oh, me so horny, Joe. That whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. We just watched a movie last night. I'm on the fence as to whether I'm going to recommend it. But it featured Vincent D'Onofrio and I didn't recognize him until he started talking. I said, oh, there's the Kingpin.
I love him.
But he's Jerry Falwell. He plays Jerry Falwell in this movie.
Yeah. I need to know more.
Vincent D'Onofrio is Jerry Falwell.
Are you going to... Is this a recommendal probably or what?
I'm trying to decide. I mean, some people... If somebody's seen this, they know exactly what movie I'm talking about.
I bet I know.
You're Googling it right now.
No, I bet I know it. It's the... there's a blonde person involved. She's married to a guy.
Yeah, yeah, the guy, that's exactly
okay.
It. Yes.
All right. I haven't seen it, but I've seen popped up and like told me to watch it before. But I had no idea he was in that. That's great.
Yeah. Boy, did they, some amazing casting with, I'm just going to say right now, Andrew Garfield in the third movie he did in 2021.
Yeah. Busy boy this year.
Busy boy, which is fine with me. He's great. I'll watch him in whatever. But my God, is that perfect casting. Him as, I'll just say, as Jim Baker.
Jim Baker.
They didn't have to do a lot of makeup on his face to do the Jim Baker weird little grimace smile that he always did, which I think is the face you'd make if you were married to Tammy Faye.
I would. Yeah. I think he probably made that face a lot. He's still weird, that guy. So that's the thighs of Tammy Faye.
The thighs of Tammy Faye.
Got it. Nailed it. All right. Great. Part of her anatomy I hope I'm never subjected to. Moving on.
Well, you won't be. She dead.
Oh yeah, she died.
Yeah, she died.
But Jim Baker's still around selling barrels of bullcrap.
Still around selling Home Depot tubs of weird oatmeal or something.
Mm-hmm. Stuff for the end times.
Forever food or what is it called? It's Armageddon box.
Armageddon. Is it Armageddon?
Doomsday tub.
Oh, that's amazing. I want all these names to be correct. So I don't even want to know the real one.
See what it's called. I got to see what it's called here.
Yeah, let's clear it up.
Survival foods, I think, is what it is. Let's see. Where is it?
She dead.
Apocalypse Chow. Is that it?
Really? That's not it.
I think that's what.
Doom loot crate. Doom crate.
Doom loot crate.
Doom crate.
NPR calls it Apocalypse Chow, but I don't think. Oh God. The photo of Apocalypse Chow. I'm putting it in the chat room.
Oh no, I'm kind of nervous.
This is the food that Jim Baker is.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. This
survival food sampler bucket.
This is his. Oh, really? I can tell you what bucket that'll go into. I don't like any of that. That all looks bad. I mean, unless you're telling me this is guac and that over there is some kind of cheese dip. Maybe this is some broccoli cheddar cheese over here. And over you got like a, I don't know what this is. But knowing that it's Jim Baker survival food, F right out of the door.
Yeah. Prepared pantry, 60 meal food supply. And this comes in the same kind of container that you get full of kitty litter, fresh step kitty litter at Costco.
Wow. Wow. I agree. It looks like all of that. I don't want any of it. Yeah. Yeah. It looked like excretions from Jim Baker. Oh, you know what I was going to tell you? I totally forgot about this. The guy in Brand New Cherry Flavor that plays the producer's son, the Eric Lane character's son.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan. Yeah, yeah. Jonathan is the spitting image for Andrew Garfield. And for a hot second, I thought, is he in this? Is he cameoing in this? Obviously, it's not him, but
that
dude looks like Andrew Garfield. And it freaked me out the whole series. That was weird. Speaking of Andrew Garfield. Anyway.
Yeah, totally.
Moving on. So the whole point is this chippy robot makes chips look good. That's the point. That's the whole story. The chips look like regular people chips. And so next time you go to Chipotle, you'll get some chips and you won't know the difference. You won't know a robot made it. All right?
Yeah. So it's if McDonald's is going to press their chicken nuggets into weird shapes, it's basically for the same reasons. Like, well, we just don't want to really advertise the fact that we've got a machine pressing this chicken into.
Yeah. If they were all the same shape, you would not want to eat them.
And if they were like a perfect circle or a little square or whatever, you wouldn't want to eat them.
I'm trying to think if lab grown meat really takes off.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's good. Mm-hmm. Let's say steak. Okay.
Okay.
And it's legitimately as good as real steak.
I'd love to do my Joey Pantoliano impersonation, but I'm not going to do it.
Going to hold off. All right.
I'm going to hold off.
So if they get to that point where it's that good, I'd wonder if I would care if all of them were identical. I don't think I would.
No.
I think I'd be fine with it.
Well, and chips you're eating a lot at a time. You're eating a dozen chips, one right after the other or whatever.
Point. Yeah.
With steak, it's not like you're eating four steaks one right after the other and saying, wait a minute, this is the exact same shape as the last steak I ate.
Very good point. Same with the nuggets. They're the same. It's in quantity. And so when you've got multiples to compare right in front of you, that's a problem.
Right.
But if you've got one steak per meal, who cares? Yeah, I'm ready for the lab-grown meat. I'm so into that.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I mean, you know, totally.
Bring it on. I don't care.
Impossible steaks. Let's have them.
Yeah, let's get there right now.
I'll try an impossible steak.
Hell yeah. I'd do that. I don't love the bean. What's the, not impossible, the other one? There's another popular one.
Beyond?
Beyond beef. I don't like that.
Beyond beef?
Because it truly is beyond beef. It doesn't taste like beef.
It's Bed Bath and Beyond Beef.
Yeah, Bed Bath and Beyond Beef.
I don't know if I've tried Beyond. I think I've had Impossible, but I don't think I've tried Beyond.
Oh, Taco Venti, you make a point. Pringles. We're okay with Pringles.
Oh, yeah, right.
But that's
a good point.
Is there an assumption there that's like, yes, these are weird potato sticks cut into the same, I don't know, maybe.
They are.
They are. But you know what I mean? Like, why are we okay with that, but we wouldn't be with the nuggets?
Yeah. Hmm. And why, I think I wouldn't complain about Chipotle's chips being
uniform.
Perfect triangles every time either. Like, no. Whatever.
I wouldn't either, actually. That wouldn't bother me. But that's the whole idea. That's what they're doing. Good luck to them. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my sister Wendy will be here. We got an email to read. She's back home, safe and sound in Minnesota. So we'll catch up with her and see what's up. Before that, though, a break and a song. Hey, Brian, you have to do the song.
Your sister is close enough. She could actually go see today's artist, Raffaella, Raffaella. She is sharing a brand new single called Blonde. She's born and raised in New York City, but now she lives in Minneapolis. Hmm. And this is a great kind of indie pop song inspired by, she was inspired at a young age by Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, and Sarah Vaughan. So you get a little bit of that classic jazz kind of sound in it, but this is great stuff. This was actually a number one hit on Spotify's Viral 50 US, or her last song, sorry, was a number one hit on Spotify's Viral 50. Here is Blonde by Raffaella. You'll be a lot happier.
cross ashes and acid calabashes. Will it get me there the fastest? I know I want it.
May.
A little softer.
May.
A little less.
May.
That's right.
Those eggs look like shit.
This is the Morning Stream asking, do dogs have brains? Because I really want to know.
We're back, everybody. Hey, who is that song again from?
Sure, that was Rafaela from her brand new single, Blonde. Check out more of her work coming out soon.
Okay, I don't want to let a question from BioCow go. He says, okay. Is it possible that you could take mashed potatoes and make Pringles out of them, out of instant mashed potatoes? I don't know. This would be a great, like, someone's probably done a YouTube thing.
Like, you could probably roll them out on a sheet pan or something and cookie cutter them and bake them and maybe make, I don't know. I don't know.
Let's see. I'm going to do
Something else I forgot to bring up.
Yeah.
At Ziggy's Coffee, the drive thru woman I spoke to and who handed me my food said perfect every time I said something. So,
perfect.
Welcome to Ziggy's. What can I get for you? Let me get a large coffee. Perfect. Would you like that to be medium roast or dark roast? Medium roast, please. Perfect. And would you like anything in there? Yeah, Splenda and a little bit of splash of cream. Perfect. And can I get you anything else? Yeah, a couple breakfast burritos. Perfect. And we have blah, 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 you know.
That's why you cut her off and stopped at chorizo. She was like, too many perfects.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
So if I ever do another on-location drive somewhere, we do a Ziggy's run, and we make bets on how many perfects I can get out of her.
I love that. That's great. Yeah, we all have our vocal crutches. Sounds like she's got hers.
We do.
But I do love the idea.
We don't want to make fun of anybody.
No, but I do love the idea that everything you said was perfect. You know,
exactly. Part of me was hoping when I got to the window that she'd say, "Okay, your food will be just a minute." And I was going to say, "That's all right. You can't rush perfection."
That would be great. But do that on tape because we need it here.
okay,
it's part of the show. Enough. All right. I searched.
Can I get spit in my breakfast burrito? That's the missing ingredient.
Oh,
my
breakfast
burrito would be spit.
I didn't think about that. Maybe don't do that then.
Yeah.
Real quick here. I did a search on YouTube. Make your own Pringles. There are a ton of videos of
really?
People making
okay.
them. Yeah. So you will not find. You will not be wanting much by looking up on YouTube this thing that BioCow asked. So, yes. So the answer, BioCow. You can make your own Pringles, and by the looks of some of this video, quite well. These look like
not
Pringles.
Hard. Yeah, not hard to do.
I don't know if they're. I mean, maybe they're hard, but the the end result, they'd look. I wouldn't be able to know the difference. They look really good.
Okay.
All right. Let's get Wendy all up in it. She's probably very patiently waiting to be added to the call here.
She is up in it, is what she is.
Yeah, she's up in it.
Everyone knows it's Wendy.
Ah, look who it is. A recent visitor to Utah is now back in her new state of Minnesota. Hello, Wendy. Welcome back. Are you there? Oh, crap. Are you muted? Mm. You might be muted.
Might be muted.
Did you do a little cheek mute? You got Adam messing with your stuff. You got one of the kids screwing around there. Something going on there. And we wait, and we see, and we wait.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get nothing yet. She's probably frantically pushing buttons, clicking on stuff.
Pushing buttons, yelling.
Adam, get in here. What'd you do? Uh-huh. Probably is what she's saying. Adam's like,
Mark
what?
Is what she's, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically a mark. She's continues to be muted. I'm going to pause the recording. What was it? Did Adam screw it?
But you're really good at that. You described exactly what to do. It was like... And not
we've done that a lot.
Yeah, we've had to do that many times. And Brian and I, you know, we've spent some time in some form of tech support. And, you know, mom still lives here in Utah. Somebody has to help her with her crap.
I'm sure you have lots of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, that was very odd.
Yeah, it was very odd. We're glad you're here, though. Ready? How are you? Yeah. 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 The trip home was fine. You guys drove the whole way. Did you do another kind of stopover places or what? What'd you do?
We drove and we stayed in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Oh, very nice.
For just the night. Got some good rest and drove home.
Yeah. Did you meet any of those Fargo types, you know, with the accent and all that? No?
No, but I did have some sad news. The world's largest candy store has closed.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I know. I don't know how. I mean, I went there at least once or twice during pandemic times, and it was crowded.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what's
going on.
Well,
the good news is another one has just risen to take its place. There will always be the world's largest candy store. It just changes from place to place.
Yeah, that's true.
Locations.
It may not be as conveniently located for you, but that's unfortunate. I didn't know they had that. Right. So tell me, what does that look like? What does the largest candy store look like? Is it a huge...
Well, it was a farm right next to kind of a main road where people, you take it going out of town to get to go west up on, I think that's I-70.
Yeah.
Or that area up there. And so everybody passes it and everybody stops. And this thing is like huge. I mean, huge.
Sounds
big. Bright yellow. And so you can't help it. And you go and you buy all the stupid things you... And it's candy from all over the world. It's just, it's heaven. I'm so sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, times are tough sometimes. So there we go.
Yeah, you never know.
Candy, no one wants candy, apparently.
Yeah, candy is no longer the draw it was during the height of the pandemic. Well, all right. It's good to have you back. And it feels weird that you were just here a week ago. That's weird to me. But whatever. Really fun seeing everybody. I keep bringing this up, but I had so much fun hanging out with Peter. That kid, if he ends up moving back here at any point, Peter's coming over all the time. We're going to have uncle nephew time all the time. And he's just a blast. He's just a fun freak show of a kid in all the right ways.
He is.
Yeah.
He really is.
Just love
him. He's a good kid.
So much fun.
You got the picture I sent you of the gnome.
Yeah. Can you explain this? This gnome is, so he brings home a gnome from where? Was it school? A friend?
I don't know. He has the weirdest experiences. But anyway, he somehow found out someone's aunt or someone makes gnomes.
Yeah.
So he takes some money. Adam and I had no idea this happened. He goes to school, apparently, purchases two gnomes.
Yeah. Bought two gnomes.
Like, is that even real? That's but anyway, weird. Then he comes home the other day with this giant gnome that's got this tie-dye hat and a painter's little kit, and it's an artist, and he's named it Scott.
Yeah, which is really sweet and strange. And also, I still can't get over the fact that the kid procured gnomes without, you know, what is that? That's a really odd thing. Never
it's
heard
a
of
strange
such a thing.
Skill. He has
very strange. Yeah.
He can get things done that make no sense.
I love it, Brian. I'll put it in our text or something so you can see it.
See it. Yeah,
it's very cute.
It's very very cute. It made me happy to get it. All right. Well, let's get to today's business. Wendy's an actual therapist, by the way. Helps people with real problems all the time, but comes on this show and slums it with us and helps you with yours. And we're happy to have her here as we have for the last almost 12 years, which is insane to say. Let's get to this email. This is one that, that's a good one. So we're tackling it. Here we go. This person wants to be called Freak, by the way.
Okay.
Or Tattooed Freak. Says, I kept wondering if I should see someone. I never knew any of my grandparents. The only memory of any grandparent is not a good one. And it was when I was about 8 or 9 years old. My parents divorced when I was 6 or 7. And I have very few memories of anything earlier than 9 to 10 years old. My mom got custody, and I saw my dad every other weekend. I don't remember much of our interactions. He never taught me how to throw a football, ride a bike, or really anything. I've never even shaved with anything but an electric razor since I had no one to show me how. My mom, that's an interesting one. I want to come back to that one. My mom did all that she could, and I was a mama's boy all my life until she died in 2014. I have twin daughters, but their mother and I were completely incompatible, and I wasn't in their lives for the first 7 years, and then only saw them once a year after that for several years since I lived 1,000 miles away. Jeez, that's a long ways. Most of the time, I couldn't even call them because their mother would just scream at me over the phone. They are in their 20s now. I'm married to a wonderful woman who has 2 kids before we got married. We've been together for 9 years and married for coming on 8 years. April 14th is the day. Even though I've been told by my wife that I am a good dad, I do not see it or feel it. I feel as if I don't know how to be a parent, and I don't And I know that one of my daughters is married and wants to have kids. I'm realizing that I don't know how to be a grandparent either. Even though I have four kids, I've never changed a diaper. I feel like my life has been full of wishing, hoping, and building towards things that didn't or won't happen. And now that I'm halfway through my life lifetime, there are here on this planet, I don't see what I have accomplished. I probably should talk to someone, but I wonder what the difference it would make. Rant over. Now let me behold your effervescent wisdom as it washes over me. Says Freak.
Wow. I like that idea.
Boy, this email got right to the meat. Like, there's no preamble. It's just like, straight up, here's what's going on and how I feel right now. And I kind of
did he give
like
enough
that.
Information by jumping right to
good
it?
Good question.
That,
yeah.
Know, questions that you normally have, like, oh, well, how was your, you know, father's life like? Or I mean, obviously that that did get answered, but
he covered a lot.
He did.
I'm
he
actually
really did.
Surprised
yeah. surprising amount. So where do you want to go with this one? It seems like it's probably a weird feeling of numb, like the feeling I get from this is almost like a numb feeling, like stuff happened but he missed it,
and just
didn't affect him, and so now he's like wondering, wait, did that happen, did I have those children, are they actually in their 20s? Like, I don't know. I think a lot of people can relate to this because time is also a factor here. Time is weird.
Right. Well, the stage, right? So halfway through his life on Earth is what, how we put it, right? He's halfway done. So I assume he means somewhere between 40 and 50.
Yeah.
Somewhere there.
Yeah.
Which is a sort of normal time to evaluate what's happened before and think about how you're going to handle what's coming up. We should really normalize that as a really important time for people. Like, you know, when you think about, okay, I'm going to ask both of you this. What is the most important developmental time for a person?
Yeah. If I had to guess.
If you had to rank it, what would be
probably
first?
Probably preteen, like maybe 9 to 12.
I'd argue 5 to 18.
Oh, big range.
That's big. That's a big range.
Is that too big?
Too big. Okay. So yeah, right? Like, why and why? Why, Brian, I like yours particularly because you're onto something there. Why do you think that's the most important time?
It's when you really start learning, like, things are not being done for you as much and you're starting to learn how to do a lot of things for yourself. And so you're watching the people around you as to how they do things and kind of adopting the mannerisms and the tools of the people around you.
Right. So that the modeling starts to, has an impact, whether the kid is rejecting what's being modeled or not is another story. That's why adolescence is so fun. Right. And preteens are the new adolescent. So you're right. And there is something actually about the brain's size, development, and you know, the stage it's in at that age, that's different from the stage before. Stage before is black and white concrete thinking. Mm. So it's a good example is smoking is bad. People who smoke are bad. Like that. It's just very linear, very black and white. Why they say the most hilarious things and they don't know they're saying the most hilarious things. That stage is also incredibly important, right? Because the brain is growing and you're learning that you're safe or not. You're, you know, all sorts of things are happening in those younger years that are really crucial for long-term well-being. But the sort of as your brain shifts to abstract thinking, which is what happens around 9, 10, 11, you can hold two different thoughts in your head at the same time. Cognitive dissonance becomes a thing. Like all of the nuances of brain development start to kick in. And that's when you go, oh, smoking's bad. That person smokes. Doesn't mean they're bad, right? Yeah. They can now handle that thought and get, you know, And they're going to see the world differently. This is why it's difficult for parents to raise kids that age, because suddenly they're new creatures and literally their brain is morphing into something new, right? And then as we keep going and their brains are still misshapen. That's not the right way to put it. What I mean is so the part of the brain that is thrill seeking and novelty seeking is bigger in a child or an adolescent's brain than it will be as they're an adult. So about 26 is when your brain gets sort of full size developmentally. And that thrill seeking part kind of shrinks to its regular adult size, but it's bigger when you're younger. And then the part of your brain that helps you know if something is a smart idea or not, or safe or physically okay, that's smaller. So that's why you have a lot of teenage insanity.
Mm.
Is, you know, the thrill seeking without the part saying, hey, it's not a great idea.
Sure.
So that all kind of gets to the adult size about 26. So anyway, the reason I got distracted was because developmentally, we never talk about 40 to 50 as a developmental stage.
No, we call it midlife crisis.
Midlife
crisis. Yeah, you've already locked into your rut by that point.
Your brain's developed. Yeah. Going on 25 years.
When someone's 45 and they're like, oh, I'm leaving my wife, buying a fast car and trying to sow my oats again, we see that as like this, oh, that guy with his, but really, maybe what we're witnessing is like a natural phenomena that we don't address very well. Is that what you're getting at?
And so the new wife and the new car is the treatment for the undiagnosed dilemma this person has been facing, right? And then it just becomes sort of a given that it looks like that and we mock it and like whatever. And then until you turn 45 and you go, oh my gosh, I want a Tesla, you know, it happens. Okay. So I wanted to just put that out there as like, hey, it's normal. This is really normal. And in fact, very healthy. Mm. It's just painful, right? Mm. To really look. And so the difference, like I love his first sentences. I keep wondering if I should see someone. The answer is yes. And the answer to the person getting the sports car and a new wife, the answer is yes. And there's a reason, because if you're not working through some of this, these existential questions, these evaluations of the life you've lived, you know, if you don't go through that process at all, then it's going to come out sideways on a yacht, you know, or you know, running away from something, or you know, could be so many different versions. You know, being in Utah, I sometimes am reminded that it's, you know, shooting your butt up with different hormones and being obsessed with how you look, right? Like, and filling your face with Botox or whatever. Like, there's everyone does this differently. It's really hard to age, and it's really hard to hit this moment where things are different and changing for you. Your body's changing. Lots is happening, and you're just, it's like adolescence 2.0.
Yeah.
Except you don't know what you're supposed to do because you're the one in charge of the mortgage, or you're the one in charge of raising adolescents, or, you know, whatever. So it's an incredibly difficult time. We need to be nicer to 40 to 50 year olds. Okay.
I agree, you guys. Be nicer.
Amen.
And, and over and beyond 50, right?
Yeah, like,
It's not in that window.
Yeah.
We're all different. I think it starts, you know, a little younger, in fact, and goes a little longer. So we're talking a good 15, 20 year span. We need to be nice to those people. Okay. So I'm basically talking about Gen X and elder millennials. Let's be nice to those folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
The older millennials.
So that's what's happening. You're at this moment. Lots of things have happened to this guy to get him to this point. Parents are divorced. Custody is tricky. Gets no real father figure. He has no modeling, at least how he's described. There's no modeling of what a dad does, right? And so like that, just like, how do I live my life? All the way down to shaving or tying a tie or something, like, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to have learned? And lots of kids just learn by osmosis. They learn by watching you. They learn by, this is just what people in my community do, and it all just sort of comes together. But if you don't have that, so, you know, some people don't feel it as acutely growing up as they will later when it is asked of them to father or mother, or, you know, be in a position of helping somebody developmentally when they didn't themselves have it. So it's not fair that he then has to go father and not know how, and problems have ensued. And, you know, this is where a therapist would be really helpful for him, I think, is to help him sort of plot out his history and understand it and have some compassion for himself to see that he was dealt a pretty rough hand of cards. And then what he has done with those cards is way better than he should have.
Yeah.
And and he's done it without any help, which is not great. I mean, we want everyone to get help, right? But this is, you know, he obviously has a great wife and he's doing his best. And now we have grandkids coming. It's like this awesome moment for him to get some maybe healing and some closure and some understanding of his past that led to some of these feelings. And then it's kind of like taking out the trash. So he then has space and room to learn something else, right? So you can learn how to be a grandpa. Yeah. You can learn how to be a dad to adult children. I'd like to venture, and you know, both of you can speak to this. You guys didn't know how to be a grand or a father to an adult child till you had one, right?
Yeah, no.
Of course, none of that.
Did either of you take a class on that?
No.
The school of hard knocks.
Yeah, baby.
Right?
Texting each other back and forth going, our kids are weird. You know, that was it. That's all we had.
Yeah. Right. And here's the thing, like, yay. And your kids are fine. You know, that works out. But when you have, when you start with a bit of a deficit in this modeling, which neither of you really did in the same way we're talking about with him.
Sure.
You have to have someone teach you and show you. Mm-hmm. So though you're in your 50s or 40s and you're like, I don't know how to do this. Well, how does anyone learn? Well, they take a class, they read a book, they go to a group, they talk to a therapist. You find ways to learn to understand this so you don't have to spend the next 40 years wishing you were a good grandpa or wishing you were a good dad. You will, because your wife isn't wrong. She can see that you're doing all these good things. You can't see it and you can't recognize it. And that is, it's a you problem that only you can do something about. But there are ways to learn this and ways to do it differently. So chain breakers, I love to talk about the chain breakers because they are incredible human beings and they're all over the place. If you talk to anyone long enough, you'll find a chain breaker probably works with you or is in your family. And it's somebody who, what was modeled, what was taught, what was brought to them is like the package handed to them. Like, this is how your life's going to go. And they refuse to do it. And they figured out, I can do it this way. I got to do something different. It's incredibly taxing and difficult, but it changes the course of everyone after you, breaking some of that sort of, you know, generational trauma and sort of in our family, we do this, et cetera. Right. So he's a chain breaker. He's doing it here in the middle of life and he's done it without really knowing it sort of already. But he really can just, I don't know, really dive into this. And it's, you know, I don't think he would have sent this email if he wasn't ready to listen to, what do they call it? Our imminent wisdom?
Our
something washing over
effervescent
us.
Effervescent
wisdom. Yeah. Because yes. Now it's windy, but with Retson. That's what's going on. Remember that? That was the thing they told us was good.
Oh, yeah. Certs was all full of that stuff, whatever the heck it was.
So I guess one thing that'll probably happen to him, everything you said is obviously all true. There's something magical about the first grandkid. And I can tell you from experience that magical thing can be described to you before it happens. And then when you get there, you're still not prepared for it or the feeling of it. And the beauty of it is you don't have to be a parent to that kid. You have to be this different role, this other role. And that other role can be hugely influential in all of that. It's not that stuff's not important or that a grandparent's role can't be, you know, can't even make or break a child's upbringing. But what I mean is it's a different kind, you know? And so there may be a tendency to want to throw yourself at that now and go, well, now's my chance. You know, now's when I can really go for it. But then you run into maybe some other issues like the daughter that you didn't see for so long and that maybe you don't have the best relationship is like, come on, back off, dad. I got this. I'm the parent now. You know, you don't need to have an opinion about everything we're doing. You know, like all those things are definitely things that come up. And for whatever reason, I've been wary of that. And don't want to be the guy in my daughter's life that goes, well, you know, back in my day, or well, the way we did, or when I was your age, you know, I don't want to do that to her. She's having her own now young adult life and she's having her own experiences and she's a wonderful parent anyway, but she doesn't need me second guessing anything she's doing or all of that. My job is to be that guy that he loves to see and can't wait to come hang out with and sit on my lap and play that dumb dino game we play and watch a Bluey. That's what he says. I want to watch a Bluey, he says. So we watch a Bluey together and all of the fun stuff when he's little and all the fun stuff when he's going to be older. That's my job now, is to just make love happen when he's in the room and not to be the guy that says, oh, I don't know, I think cloth diapers would have been the way to go. I mean, that's not my job. Or Kim's, for that matter. So we're trying really hard to break that pattern of old people butting in going, here's what you should be doing. I just throw that out there as just like a general piece of advice so that you don't catch yourself overdoing that or trying to, you know, take lead in a thing you're not meant to lead in. And then once you realize that, freaking enjoy it. Let that wash over your effervescent self. Because it's great. It's amazing. He goes home.
I think that's really good advice. Yeah. I don't know if it applies to this person.
It may not. But, it may not at all. But I do think
everyone else listening, take that in. Because it's crucial to building a good relationship with everybody. But for him in particular, I wonder if it's almost the opposite of if you've never changed a diaper. I mean, I changed 1,000 diapers, guys. And then recently, I had to help someone, and I was changing a diaper, and I almost barfed. And I was like, I forgot how the strap things work. Like, your brain doesn't maintain its former skills when you stop using them. It just doesn't. Or, like, how does this stupid car seat work? You know, I haven't had to work on one of those in a long time. So having never done it, feeling probably really self-conscious about being around a young baby or a young child, you may not feel natural. You may, you know, whereas I think, Scott, like, you love kids and spend a lot of time with kids, that this is new territory to have a toddler come over to your house.
Oh yeah.
And if it is, which I assume this for this guy, it might be. Just not knowing what he's doing. And so this is why I'm a big fan of parenting classes or group parenting sorts of things, or grandparenting courses, which they do have, where you can learn some stuff, see that you're not alone, get support, understand that it's okay. It's okay that you don't know how to do this. Like, it doesn't mean you're a bad or good anything. It just means you haven't learned yet, and that's okay. So learning is going to make you feel 1,000 times more confident, and really it's just exposure. I had a client the other day say, literally all of life is exposure therapy. And it is. Mm-hmm. You have to go do a thing. You have to learn a thing. You got to practice a thing. You have to try a thing. A thing that scares you, you got to move towards it, or it will always scare you. Might still scare you after you move towards it. Who knows? You know, like, it's just it's a lot of effort to live life like that. And I'm sure what's easy and what's sort of maybe would come naturally to this person is to avoid. Mm. Stay away. Yeah. Pull back. And be stuck in their head about that they're terrible at this, et cetera. And that is a lack of learning and pushing yourself to do a thing that's hard for you to do, which is why the 40 to 50 developmental range that we ignore really is important for this reason, is that you got to decide what you want to do the rest of your life. You can evaluate. You have time to, you know, not you have time, but you have the time that can be evaluated because you've lived it and spent it. Mm-hmm. I think everyone should just automatically be enrolled in therapy when they hit 37.
Mm. Well, that's an interesting age.
And just talk it through. Sure. We'd have a lot less cars on the road that are annoying and, you know, or whatever thing people end up doing as their midlife crisis to just sort of feel alive again or whatever it might be, right? Like actually dealing with this stuff. So I highly recommend... I didn't have a chance to. I was going to Google like grandparenting courses. There's stuff online. There's just so endless amounts of good information available to like improve your skills at this. Go, you know, work at a daycare for 6 months. Your life will be changed.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe don't do that. But if you want to, you know, like finding ways to like expand your mind and your horizons. It's painful. This is why the therapist is important here. Is we're not just saying, hey, go learn to skateboard. That would be painful too. But if you don't have any trauma around skateboarding and you're just like, yeah, let's do it. It's much easier to go try to learn to skateboard. Mm. But if there is trauma around parenting and being around small children and not knowing if you're a failure or not because of your previous life, you know, like you haven't sorted through all of that. Mm. Like you have an obligation for these little humans coming into your life. To do something about that history. It's not easy. And I know I'm making it sound like, oh, just go do it and figure it out. It will be work and it will be worth it. I truly can guarantee that.
Yeah, it'll totally be worth it. Do you wonder sometimes, like I'll watch a video, some viral video of a Karen type or something, you know, freaking out in a store and forget, you know, it doesn't even have to be COVID related. Just somebody who's just like, mid-50s, losing their minds. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a wig. they're dressed like their daughter. You know, this is just a small example. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't want to blanket this too much. But my point is, when I see these, I'm more these days seeing somebody freaking out in the very specific context of that moment or day. Instead, what I'm seeing is like, this is somebody who at 37 or when they were 37 could have used that mandatory thing you were talking about.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Like, because they're expressing themselves in a place where they're not losing their relevance as a human being, but they're losing their previous prime. Self. They're
ability
going out of their
to
prime.
Contribute to a community in a productive way.
Yeah, they're maybe their prime is past and they're going in a new space and they don't want to let that go. So instead of like seeing those changes and understanding those changes, they're fighting those changes, and as a result, they're fighting everybody in front of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to
do a little short segment defending Karen. You ready?
Do it. Mm-hmm. Go.
Okay. So, we were skiing when we were there visiting, right? Mm-hmm. And I was sitting on the lift with my brother-in-law, and as we were about to get on the lift, I asked him. I just said, "Okay, observe what's happening right now in front of us." And so, of course, he did, and then we had the time to talk about it. And what it was two young girl snowboarders were getting on the lift, and the three dudes who work there, you know how they like shovel the snow and they say hi, whatever, all joking with them and laughing with them. And the girls you could see are like, "Ah, like, why are you talking to us?" And it's all this little banter back and forth. And then when we got up there, I made a joke. I tried to engage with the dude with the shovel. He straight up ignores me. Okay. And so we get on the trail or get on the thing. And I say, "So what do you think just happened?" He goes, "I don't know. What just happened?" And I was like, "So when you are a young woman, you have a certain power you don't know you have."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Men will pay attention to you. People will just talk to you and listen to you and think you're whatever because you're at a certain age range. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to use the verb that would explain this. Sure. And then when you get older, they're just like talking to their mom or their grandmother or whatever. And I had a friend put it this way. She's like, "I'm a white woman who's in my 50s. So when people hear me talk, they just hear white noise."
Wow.
Right? And this, so it doesn't matter your level of attractiveness at some point when you're younger, there's some attractiveness that society has deemed for young people and worth, whatever. So we talked about on the trail or on the lift, and he was just like, "Does that happen?" I'm like, "Have you met a Karen yet?" And that is what I think is at the core for many situations, is that you are losing, people treat you differently. They just do. So like at the airport, I was at the airport recently, and my box got stuck. You know how when they go underneath and you pull it up? Anyway, they're so annoying. Yeah. And some young 30-year-old, I have to say young. I thought we were the same age.
Yeah.
Anyway, she helped me as it like fell out all awkward and she fixed it. And I was like, "Oh, that's so nice. Thank you."
Yeah.
And she looked at me like, "Oh, you're welcome." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, you think you just helped an old lady?"
Exactly. I'm going to get a merit badge for this.
That's
it
amazing.
It was so clear that that's what she just thought.
Did she think this was you right here?
Yeah,
some white noise. Yeah. Okay.
And also help me because my legs don't work as well or whatever, but it was so clear, her tone, her face and what just happened. And even how I said, "Oh, that was so kind of you." I was like, "I'm the old lady in this story." And you could feel the difference.
Yeah.
Like, we aren't peers anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't feel any different. She doesn't know any different. And when she's 50, she'll also know, "Oh, I'm now there." Right. So this is the great universal equalizer. It just takes a long time to get to, right? Like, everyone you ever see who's young will one day feel like you guys. So anyway, but I do think there is this huge amount of loss in having sort of unknown power you did have, you don't have anymore. You can't flirt your way into something like you used to, and you didn't maybe even know you were doing it, or just they're not really going to give you attention, but someone else walks up, they're going to give them attention. And this, you could draw these on racial lines too. People have experienced this their whole lives.
Yeah.
and so you just, I think there's an entitled blonde version of this that likes to get, like, before seeing the manager really worked and getting what they needed happen, and then it stops working. And so they're
losing
pretty
their power, so they can't.
Yeah, exactly. And so instead of like morphing to something different or figuring this out or grieving some of that loss, I think so when you know, you're critical of women who are like, I did it already in the show with Botox, right? Like you're critical of that, but you got to think of what they're trying to hang on to.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously there's a lot of nice women who do not do this. So yeah, there is some other special things, but that's been my empathy for Karens is like, oh, they don't have any power anymore and they are demanding it. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
So I can have some sympathy.
And it's really easy for us to lump it into the big giant stereotype that it is. Obviously we've given it a name. We've given her a name, and at the expense of anyone named Karen, we have given her a name, and it's kind of, it's kind of lousy.
And my friend Karen does this. It's so funny. She's not a Karen, but her name is Karen. Yeah. She just loves to make sure her name is written on stuff, like when she orders things.
Yeah.
And she always just like, hey, I'm Karen.
I'm Karen, and I'm not yelling at you to do something for me.
I love
just
that.
Scary enough.
I love that. Yeah. That's that she has embraced this thing. There's something also very cathartic about that as well, as just
for
owning
sure,
it. Yeah. Well, all right. I hope this helps send him in the right direction. Let us know, tattooed freak or freak, if you'd prefer. I want to see his tattoos now. Now I'm all curious about what his tattoos look like. But we hope nothing but the best for you and all of this. And I'm telling you right now, man, little baby grandkids, it's the best thing on the planet. It sounds stereotypic. They all say it. They all want to whip out their photos and show you. But when it happens to
There's
you,
a reason.
Oh, man. It's amazing. Like, it's just amazing. Anyway, Wendy, anything else going on? You're in the thick of a run of Real Steps, so nothing to really add
there. We are in the thick of it. It's going really well.
Oh, good news, everybody. I'm joining the next phase. I'm in the next phase. So
are you going to announce it? All right.
I'll announce it now. This is how I commit. I'm going to do the next phase and see what this is all about. And part of it is curiosity on my part. Part of it is like, well, we talk about it all the time. I may as well experience what the heck's going on. And part of it is I like watching Wendy in her natural habitat. It's fun to watch her do.
And the
her
biggest
thing.
Part is you need to heal your relationship with food.
Yeah. That's the other thing. We had a whole conversation while she was here. Like, I've lost 14 pounds. I'm on the right track. Like, I'm doing good that way. But my relationship with food is still an abusive one. And I need to figure out how to alter that. And pray I don't alter it any further. But anyway.
Yeah. So if you want to be in a Real Steps group with Scott and understand his deepest, darkest demons, which we haven't probably discussed all of them on the show.
No, there's no time. We've only been doing the show for 11 years.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, so I'll give you a quick example of my relationship with food. So last night, Kim made vegetarian jambalaya. It was amazing. One of her best batches ever. Huge pot of it. Carter loves it, obviously, because it's vegetarian, but I like it just because it's amazing. And in my head, I went, well, normally I'd get a bowl, you know, when it's got the chicken and the shrimp and maybe some sausage in there or whatever. I'll get a bowl. That'll do me. Last night, I was like, I'm not going to do rice, but I'm going to have three bowls of this because it's so much better for me. Why not go three bowls instead of the two or the one? And, you know, spent most of the night Dutch ovening my poor wife. So I guess what I'm saying is like, I really do want to kind of get my head around why I do that. Cause I do that. And so instead of me going, I've lost 14 pounds, I had less bread, less rice, less sugar, really going a long way. So let's see how many apples I can eat in a day. You know, like
I've earned this. I've earned the right to do this.
Yeah. It's a weird, it's a weird psychology. So I'm going to actually try it out. And then I can, you know, when it comes time for people to join up, I can actually say, oh man, you need to do this. Or maybe I'll have a terrible time. I don't know.
And you'll be like, run for your lives. We will stop advertising.
Yeah.
Bye.
But whoever hasn't done it or will be doing it then, I look forward to hanging out with you as well. Cause that'll be fun. That'll be sometime in the summer. No, when will this
fall.
Be?
Fall. No, we do a fall one.
All right. That's right. Fall and spring, basically.
Start like October-ish sometime. Yeah.
Very nice. It's Wendy Dunford. Have a great week. And I'm glad you're home safe. We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Bye now.
See ya.
Bye now. Can't find her to hang up on.
Bye.
There she goes. She's left. She's left now. Okay. All right. Well, that was great. Let us know, tattooed freak, how things went for you there, bud.
For sure. Send us some photos. We want to see the tattoos.
I agree. All right, as a reminder of how much stuff we overdo here on the show or in our podcasting lives, I'd like to recommend the following programs to you. Tonight at, well, let's do it in the right order. Coverville today at 1. Tell people about
1 that. 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Yeah, Billy Corgan is turning 55, so Smashing Pumpkins as well as some weird stuff that he's contributed to. I'll bet you never knew that Smashing Pumpkins did a cover of My Blue Heaven, the old crooner classic. My Blue Heaven.
No. Or, I did not know this. That's amazing.
That Billy Corgan got together with Marianne Faithfull for a cover of, how's the chorus go? Something tells me I'm into something good.
Really? Yeah. Weird.
Yes. Billy Corgan, who you probably don't associate with happy at all, does that happy song. Plus a bunch of great covers of Smashing Pumpkin songs. I found some amazing stuff. So that's coming up 1 p.m. And you can watch me play Pokemon Arceus.
I'm going to play Pokemon
Arceus.
Keep getting tempted to grab that. But with Kirby coming, I gotta wait. I got to hold off. Because I love me Kirby, Brian. I love me some Kirby.
Love me some Kirby. So that's coming up 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville.
I'm going to call out an emailer who pissed me off. I'm not going to use his name. Here's what he said. Here's the exact quote. Scott, I know you're excited about the new Kirby game, but you do realize that game is made for little kids, right?
Jeez.
See these two birds? Yeah, these birds are for you. These birds are going to nest in your nest, take a big dump on your house. These birds like you, buddy.
Exactly.
Screw you. Kirby rules. Kirby rules. Yeah. All right. My thing tonight is Core, 5 p.m. Mountain Time. If you like video games, speaking of that, we are going to have one of them episodes. And I'm telling you, man, something about Core right now. There's some special sauce over there. It's growing like crazy. People are loving it. If you like general video game discussion, news topics type stuff, reviews of games we're playing, you want to get your gaming fix, I swear Core is on a roll, and I want y'all to be a part of it. So if you haven't checked it out already, do so. That's tonight at 5. Live right here at the same channel, but if you'd rather just get the podcast, that happens right after. So get that wherever you get your shows. Just look for Core. Film Sack this weekend, we're doing The Losers.
Yeah, we are.
The Losers.
Chris Evans in yet another comic book character role.
That's right. And liking
like sixth or seventh or something.
I think we liked it maybe a little more than the world liked it when it came out.
I think so.
Yeah.
We saw some real potential there for sure.
Yeah, I think it's worth checking out though. The episode was one of my favorites though. We had a lot of fun recording it. We pre-recorded it, if this isn't obvious. why we're talking about it in the past tense. Exactly. But that comes out this weekend, so check that out. Then on Friday morning, tomorrow morning, Carter and I will be doing a Friday morning stream. We'll continue our run through an adventure game we found that we like quite a bit. So check that out if you want to see that. And there will be Dungeons at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Again, my schedule's, this is too much. I've got to cut things out. It's too much.
And if you're anywhere near the Dallas area, please come visit me at the Dallas Pinball Festival or Texas Pinball Festival. I'll be there all day Saturday, a little bit Friday night, a little bit Sunday morning, but really all day Saturday. With the lovely Tina by my side, we're doing a meetup at the Cypress Lounge at 2 p.m., which is in the Embassy Suites at the hotel where the event is being held. But if you're not able to make that that time, because I know that the Seventh Doctor is going to be signing stuff at that very same time. There's a new Doctor Who pinball machine, and so he's there for the promotion of that.
Oh, wow.
But message me, and we can definitely figure out a way to hook up. I can buy you a drink, and we can hug or shake hands or whatever. Well, maybe not whatever. Those are the two choices. Those are the only two choices, hug or shake hands.
That's really funny.
At the Pinball Festival.
So is this Sylvester McCoy? Is that the doctor?
That is exactly who it is, yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I was like, wait a minute, which is the seventh? I lose track.
I know, yeah. No, he's one I was not familiar with.
Yeah. I have to admit, I'm not super up on who that dude was. I guess he's 90s, early 90s guy? Maybe?
That's what this looks like. Is that right?
80s, maybe? When did Scarf Boy stop?
Well, that was fourth, yeah.
He was four. Okay, so it's got to be 90s, though, right? Early aughts.
Scarf Boy, by the way. I like that. But now I can't remember what the hell his name is. Genie says 81.
81. Oh, all right.
Yeah. So he was 87 to 89, and then he came back in 1996 as the Doctor.
Okay, did they rip through a bunch between Baker and him then? That must have been what happened, because if you go from 4 to 7... And it was only really 81. They must have hauled ass there. Huh.
That's a really interesting. Let me see here. Let's see. Actors. Come on, show me.
Show me actors.
Bing. Show me actors for 10 points. Show me actors.
No, nothing. Think.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Fourth Doctor, Tom Baker, 74-81. Peter Davidson, not Pete Davidson, but no. Peter Davidson, Davison from 82-84. Colin Baker from 84-86. Then Sylvester McCoy from 87-89.
Yeah.
Paul McGann for one brief year, 96. And then we had like a big gap, and then Eccleston. And Tennant Smith Capaldi.
Right. And now the lady, she's cool. I like her. She seems great. And then there's some word of, is this a rumor true that, handsome 90s British man got in trouble for getting a beige by a hooker in Hollywood?
Hugh Grant?
Hugh Grant is rumored to be the next Doctor, I keep hearing.
Really? Oh, wow. I haven't heard that at all.
Hugh.
Interesting.
Hold on. Let's see if this is, I might be conflating something. Let me just make sure. Okay, Hugh Grant in the news. Here we go. Hugh Grant. Oh, there's an update. Damn it. It says, Hugh Grant would very much like you to know that he will not be the next Doctor Who. Thank you very much. All right, so apparently the rumors are false. He's not doing that.
Yes, we don't need him getting in trouble with his companion.
No. And another beige.
Beach.
I like the term.
Hey, Beach.
Hey, Beach.
Colonel Potter wants us in the officer's mess in like 10 minutes, Beach.
It's like Adam Scott. I'm just kidding. All right.
right. Because it sure wasn't Alan Alda.
Nope. All right. We're done. Real quick. Patreon.com/TMS. Support us. We need it. The show survives upon your good graces. We need you there. Please. If you haven't yet, be a patron. You may get your name mentioned next week, and I'd love to do that. So patreon.com/TMS. Okay, song time, Brian. Play a song.
Song time. So a couple of the people I'm really excited to see this weekend are Bobby Ann and Barry Folk. Barry wrote in and said, "Hi, Scott and Brian, and wonderful Tadpool people. I wanted to request a song for my awesome wife's birthday on March 24th. That is today. Happy birthday, Bobby Ann. She's looking forward to seeing half of you in Dallas and then all of you in Vegas.
Nice.
Thanks. Is it too early to get a Canada fish sandwich?
Never.
Canada.
Okay, there's the first part. Hold on. Canada. And then where is it? The fish sandwich.
The tender crisp bacon.
Oh, that's not it. Hold on. That's the wrong sandwich.
Hey, Two Oregon fish sandwich.
There it is.
Excellent.
Got
very
it.
Good. He wants to request any Billy Joel cover. I've got a really good one that I'm amazed I haven't played before. This is by the Diamond Family Archive from 2009 from their album The Wanderer. This is one of those covers where if you're not paying attention, just based on the melody, you would not recognize this as She's Always a Woman. But then you start hearing the lyrics and it's like, oh, this isn't the way this song normally goes, and so it's like really cool. She's Always a Woman by the Diamond Family Archive.
She can kill with a smile. She can wound with her eyes. She can ruin your faith.
As long as it is free, she is.
She steals like a thief. She is always a woman to me. She is always a woman to me. Always. Oh, she takes care of herself.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
It's a killer. It's a man-eater.